Hello, this is Dave.
Hello, sir. Aryan this side once again. Can you hear me, sir, now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sir, I'm so sorry. I really apologize for this, sir. I was just not able to hear what you were trying to say at that point of time, sir. I really apologize for that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with your phone, so.
Actually, sir, I'm not using my phone. I'm using my office system. We basically call through a software called X-Lite. So that is it's causing some kind of interference. I don't know what was happening.
So what was your last question?
So just, sir, I'll just take 10 more minutes of your time, and I won't take more than that. So I was just wanting to understand about the challenges which I was talking about, apart from charging and high cost of these vehicles. What exactly are the challenges that are being faced by the North American consumer as a whole?
Well, the problem is the way the product is used, right, and where it's generally used. There is no charging. So,
okay.
You know, that's the problem. People transport these vehicles to go use mm-hmm. them for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So that precludes the ability to charge. And, you know, so I think the only real viable space for electric is going to be
mm-hmm.
for private use on small, maybe small farms or small landowners, or if it's used
okay.
on a job site or a construction site. But for
exactly.
recreational purposes, there's
mm-hmm.
no way to charge the product where the product is used.
Okay, so what you're trying to say is these products are not usable in recreational activities at the moment.
Correct.
Okay. So I was coming on to the application part of this vehicles as well, sir. Basically, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to segment the applications into four different categories. Firstly, professional sports, and then the recreation, as you said. The third is agriculture, and the fourth is the military and defense. So do you think in among the four which I have just mentioned, which application is majorly utilizing this electric ATV or UTVs, or do you think none of them are currently utilizing it?
No, I don't believe any of them are.
Okay, so according to you, none of them are utilizing ATVs, electric ATVs and UTVs.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because, sir, I have seen most of the companies which are basically offering, they are generally offering for agriculture and all those, for those kind of applications. So do you think agriculture will, if in 5 years down the line or in 10 years down the line, will have a significant part to play in electric ATVs and UTVs?
Oh, I think it will, but the technology has to get to the point where the range is longer and the charge
mm-hmm.
time is faster, and
okay.
there has to be a different way to charge. And the other
mm-hmm.
issue is weight. You know,
the
battery, you know, when you look at the battery vehicles right now,
mm-hmm.
the weight is significant, which is also a hindrance to off-road product because they're trying to make off-road product lighter. And in a lot of areas where the product is used, there are weight restrictions. So
right.
that also precludes things, you know, from being used in certain areas. So I think that's, you know, it, in a sense, I mean, it's the same challenges that automotive has, right?
Right.
It's
right.
range, it's charging, it's cost. You know, if you look at the cost of, like, the new Polaris electric vehicle, it's
right.
dramatically more than a gas-powered vehicle, and it
mm-hmm.
offers really no advantage.
Okay.
There's many disadvantages to it, so I think that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. So also, if you talk about the one of the application, which is military and defense, I have seen that these military and defense, especially in the American military and American defense, they are basically trying to introduce electric ATVs and UTVs in their operations. One of the reasons which is being told is because these vehicles are quite silent compared to gas vehicles.
Right.
So do you think this can be realized, this can be in the next 5-6 years will be something that every company, every electric manufacturing manufacturing company will be looking at to basically attract the defense industry?
It probably will be for that, but I don't know what the volume potential is there. You know, that
mm-hmm.
I know the military, I have friends that work for General Motors here in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and military is looking really hard at electric for those reasons, but then again, they have the same problem is how do you charge that, right? I mean, when they're out, they can't charge them. You know, when you look at what you have to have from an electrical grid for a level 2 charger to be able to recharge vehicles, right? You can't do that out in the field. So that's it's still going to be that. That's the big challenge: is how do you do that where fuel is available everywhere, whether it's diesel or gasoline. So I don't know. Maybe it becomes some sort of a hybrid type model, you know, a hybrid vehicle versus fully electric for that reason.
Yeah. So, okay. So that was going to be the next question. So what I have understood by basically tracking the products which are offered by various companies, I have seen that 90 to 95% these electric ATVs, UTVs are fully electric. I mean, battery electric vehicles, as they call us. And very few companies, like there is one company called Segway Technologies that is that has manufactured hybrid version of these electric ATVs. So do you think, like, is there any particular reason why hybrid are manufactured less than the all electric? Because I feel that hybrid has an advantage, like if there is no charging facility available, it can still be used as a gas vehicle, but still companies are manufacturing all electric. Is there any particular reason for that?
I think it's just the cost, the engineering and development cost, and the long-term return, the volume potential. The customers that are, you know, you look at the customers that are buying off-road products, they're not buying electric, and a hybrid would be more expensive than a gas vehicle, obviously, and I don't know that people would feel that it offers an advantage. It would have to offer a significant advantage for the cost increase to the customer, so I think that's probably the real reason.
Okay, got it. So if you talk about about the company which have, as you mentioned, about Polaris is one of the major companies in this, and as I mentioned, some of the companies like Vulcan, Segway, American Landmaster. So if you have to rank the top 5 companies in the ecosystem of electric ATVs and UTVs, according to you, which top 5 companies would that be? Any approximation would be also be fine.
Well, the only one is Polaris, because Segway isn't shipping any product, Vulcan's not shipping any product, and Landmaster is barely in existence. So the only one that is shipping any electric is Polaris, and they've shipped less than 1,000. So it doesn't, it's insignificant. You know, that's what I mean. It's barely, there's nothing there.
Okay. So I just want to press on the point about American Landmaster, which is mentioned, like this company, that company is really, that company is not doing much in the market. Is that what you're trying to say?
Correct. And their vehicle is based off of a golf cart platform, so it's not really, you know, they don't do much at all. You know, if you look at their dealer network and their volume that they do, they barely register on the radar.
Okay, so they have no significance in the current market, right? Okay.
Correct.
So just last couple of questions. If you talk about the pricing of these vehicles, as you mentioned, these are very high cost vehicles when compared to gas versions. What I have understood that if I have to take an average price of these vehicles for electric ATVs, what I have understood that it basically ranges in the range of $15,000 to $20,000. So do you think this is the average selling price which I can take for my analysis? $15,000 to $20,000?
Yeah, I would say, yes.
Okay. So my final question, sir, would that be, if we take electric ATV industry as a whole, I know in the North American market and the European market, the off-road vehicles are quite popular for in various types of applications. So, but electric ATV vehicles are still very active, very nascent stage. So do you think in the next 10 years, what are the chances of this industry growing to have a significant share? Or do you think right now there are too much noise and once the time goes on, it will just pass out? So what, according to you?
Well, I think in certain respects it's going to be forced upon the industry whether they want to do it or not. You know, there's already parts of Europe that I think are going to require or mandate that no gas ATVs or UTVs are sold in another, 8 to 10 years. So at a certain point, electric is going to have to be a part of everybody's, model lineup whether they want to do it or not, I think. But I think you still have the same challenges. And again, you know, the United States is different because it's the largest off-road market in the world. I think the United States, I don't know the exact percentages, but I think it represents almost 75% of the off-road market.
Exactly.
So, you know, for the whole world. And I don't think, I think there is a market for electric ATVs and electric UTVs here in the United States, but it would be for different use. You know, it would not necessarily be the recreational customer. It would be more of a, I would say, you know, a professional type customer where it's being used on a job site or it's being used on a small farm or it's a construction company or landscaping, things like that, where it's not going out and being used recreationally on a trail or on a trip or something like that where they can't access electricity. It's something where it's staying close to home or it's on a piece of property where they could have charging. And still the challenge is, right, I mean, if you're a contractor and you had four of these vehicles, now do you, where do you charge those? You know, do you have to have four level two charging stations at your business? And if they're out, they can't be recharged when they're out on a job. So, you know, that those are the challenges, I think. But that's where I see that there will be probably some interest in electric is that type of use where it's not recreational. It's more a commercial use or an industrial use, I guess I would say.
Okay. I just want to understand, so as you mentioned, it will be forced, basically, that's what you said in the starting. But what I want to understand is, like, I have seen in various European and in North America, I mean, US to be precise, there are laws that basically prevent these vehicles from going on the highways or in those kind of things. But the laws are quite strict for the use of this vehicle. Do you think that will be changed completely to basically introduce these into the market?
It could be. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I mean, at a certain point, I mean, you know, if you're looking out 30 years, then there probably won't be any more combustion engine vehicles, you know, being produced.
Okay.
You know, but I think it's going to, everybody's going to go kicking and screaming to that point because it's just the costs right now are so high and the weight is high, the charging is difficult, the charging times are lengthy. You know, it's, again, it's all of the same things that the auto industry is facing.
Right.
And I look at it, I look at like the, you know, if I look at, let's say, a Ford F-150 Lightning, you know, to put it into automotive terms, you know, you can get a Ford F-150 Lightning, their costs have come down from a retail standpoint to where it's close to what a gasoline-powered truck is. But there's no advantage to electric. There's, and in most cases, there's tremendous disadvantage. You know, the you have to have access to charging. There's no range when you're towing. You know, if the towing range on an F-150 Lightning, the last study I read, it was less than 100 miles of towing range. You know, and then you're out of charge, so you can't use it the same way that you would use a regular gasoline-powered truck. So I think that's what they're facing too. You know, you look at GM just introduced the Chevy Silverado you know, within the last couple of weeks, and they're targeting commercial. They're not targeting the general user, right? They're trying to find market to local. You know, if somebody's a local contractor or they've got local business where they're not leaving a certain grid area. And they're maybe coming back to home base at the end of the day so they can charge. So that's where I think the challenge is consistently because it's not there's still no charging infrastructure and the charge times take too long. So for the other types of use, which is, you know, probably the majority of the use, then electric just doesn't work right now, in my opinion. It's not usable in that respect.
Got it. Sir, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Your insights, I will be really using those in my study. How should I proceed in that? And that your insights are really helpful. So what I'm going to do is, sir, as a token of thanks, sir, once my report is published, I will share the executive summary with you. It will have all the initial findings of the report, which we have included. Please have a look at it and do tell me your views. What do you think, how we have performed in that study? So if
sure.
possible, sir, can you share your email address?
Thank you.
Yeah. Can I have an email address, sir?
Yeah, it's the letter D.
Yeah.
H-R-E.
H-R-E.
J-S-A.
J-S-A.
At yahoo.com.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much for your time. You have a great day ahead.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.